Britain. The election results. Poll post-mortem. How did pollsters do in predicting the election? Us included.
There was no shortage of predictions about how Britain's general election would pan out on July 4th. A huge amount of data gathered over the 6 weeks of the campaign, 144 national polls in all, surveying a total of 622,000 people, pointed to one outcome, a Labour landslide. That outcome duly materialised. Labour's haul of 411 seats gives it a working majority of 181 in the new Parliament, which began on July 9th. Even so, the polling firms did not cover themselves in glory. An average of 17 voting intention polls conducted immediately before Election Day suggested that Labour would enjoy an 18 percentage point lead over the Conservatives. But once the ballots had been counted, Labour's share of the vote was just 10.3 points ahead of the Tories. Underestimating Tory support and overestimating Labour's is an age-old problem for the polling industry in Britain. But this is the biggest miss since the election in 1992. Jane Green, a professor of politics at Oxford University and president of the British Polling Council, says it is too soon to know why the pollsters were off target. Even so, several theories abound. Polling firms have an awful time anticipating who will actually bother to vote. Turnout of just 60% was the lowest since 2001. New voter ID laws that require proof of identity to cast a ballot may have had a small effect on turnout. At local elections in 2023, 0.25% of people who tried to vote were unable to do so. But that will have mattered much less than muted enthusiasm for Sir Keir Starmer, Britain's new Prime Minister, and a high degree of confidence about the eventual result. These factors may have meant that younger people who told pollsters they would vote Labour turned out in lower numbers than expected, or cast their votes for other parties. In the final polls ahead of the election, about 1 in 10 respondents said that they were still undecided about how they would vote. Some polling firms attempted to reallocate these voters based on their demographic profiles, but that process does not appear to have been very accurate. Pollsters try their best to do high-quality surveys that are representative of the population at large. But many are buying in data from the same market research providers. Will Jennings, a professor of politics at Southampton University, says they need to be more transparent about the origins of their sample data. New multi-level regression and post-stratification, or MRP, methods did not perform swimmingly either. The median estimates from the final 9 MRPs published by polling firms, including one by The Economist in collaboration with We Think, a research firm, put Labour's seat total at between 426 and 517, with an average of 458. That is, in part, because the data that fuel MRPs suffered from the same problem of overestimating the Labour-Tory gap as the vanilla voting intention polls did. Where MRPs did do well, according to Sir John Curtis, a professor of politics at Strathclyde University, is that they correctly anticipated how tactical voting and the efficient distribution of voters would punish the Tories and reward not just Labour, but the smaller parties too. That may explain why The Economist's own Ensemble model, which incorporated polling firms' MRP predictions into a swing model based on national and regional polls and predicted Labour to win 427 seats, did well. By falling about halfway between MRPs that overestimated Labour's seat haul and our swing model, which did not take tactical voting fully into account, we brilliantly offset the failings of both. Or got lucky.